Now, the thing we can do ourselves as leaders is to value others and to go that extra step, not just say thank you, but what was it that they did? Notice it. I noticed that you did this. Good work.
Patricia Ryan Madsen's the author of a book called Improv Wisdom, Don't Prepare, Just Show Up. This book was recommended to me by a friend. Patricia is the professor emerita from Stanford University, where she began teaching in 1977 in their drama department. She served as the head of undergraduate acting. She founded and coached the Stanford Improvisers and taught beginning and advanced level courses in improv for undergrads as well as adults in Stanford's continuing studies program. In 1996, she founded the Creativity Initiative at Stanford, which was an interdisciplinary alliance of faculty who shared the belief that creativity can be something that's taught. She's had the pleasure of teaching design improv for the School of Engineering and has been a guest lecturer for the Stanford Technology Ventures Program and for the Mayfield Fellows Program. In over 30 years at Stanford, she obviously has also consulted with a ton of companies you probably have heard of throughout the Silicon Valley area. I wanted to catch up with Patricia because not only did I love her book and I wanted to meet her, but you know, I think today when we think about work, there's two things that we don't always consider. The first is that a heck of a lot of work is improv today. I mean, today 80% of workers in America are doing a job with no recent training in the last 5 years. I mean, that sounds like improv to me, Jaime. You're not improvising?
Right, I'm improvising all the time.
Great.
Every day.
I'm going to sign you up for some classes with Patricia.
Oh, thanks.
So, you know, I think that that's the first thing that, you know, the workers show up today and are doing, there's a lot of improv happening already. But second, creativity being a skill. I think today more than ever, businesses and organizations need to be aware of that their creative muscle and figure out how to develop it. So I want to catch up with Patricia. She has a lot that she's learned along the way. Here's Patricia Ryan Madsen. Let's bring it in.
Patricia, I am excited to talk. I came prepared, and for those that can't see, obviously, I am holding Improv Wisdom, Don't Prepare, Just Show Up. I was lucky enough to pick this book up a bunch of months ago, and in my discovery of really in trying to get better at presenting and being a professional and being a communicator, and I picked up the book, and it's all marked up. So someone came by my desk the other day and tried to pick it up, and I said, "Nope, I'll buy it, but you can't take that copy." So I'm excited to talk to you today. Maybe I'll hand it over to you to give a quick background on yourself for those who are meeting you for the first time.
Sure, happy to. I'm Patricia Ryan Madsen. I'm now sitting in California, south of San Francisco, and I'm retired from a career in university teaching. I was at Stanford for almost 30 years, and what brings me here, I think, is a little book that Sam was holding up, Improv Wisdom, and in a way, while this show is maybe targeted for business and leadership, the thing about this little book, and I like to think of it as a little book in these days of many big books, that it's really a book for everybody, because it's about using a paradigm, using a set of ideas and maxims and, if you will, ways of being together that come out of the world of improvisation, but might just be useful for us everyday humans. I think there are a lot of strategies for how to do something well, and this program invites amazing people who talk about those strategies. What I want to share today about the improv wisdom idea is that there's a culture of improvisation that's a real healthy thing. Let me start with the word improvisation is often a game stopper for a lot of people, because, oh yeah, improv, that's that stand-up comedy stuff. Whose line is it anyway? And, you know, I'm not really that funny. I can be funny, but I'm not really, I don't like having to do something without preparing. That idea that improv equals stand-up comedy is a mistaken notion. One, it does improvisation can very well lead to stand-up comedy and to sketch comedy and to all kinds of delightful things. What I've spent my life doing is looking at how can people get in a room together that don't know each other personally and haven't worked together, but manage to, say, stand up on stage and create a story in real time without any particular background. And what we discover is that that's possible when they're using a group of, I would call them cultural maxims, because I've discovered recently that improv is a culture. I just had a reunion. I founded a group at Stanford in 1991 called the Stanford Improvisers. I never had any idea that 32 years later, that group would still be going strong, would still be performing, doing all kinds of interesting and entertaining things, teaching. And when we got together, there were 100 of these people from the last 32 years that showed up. And we don't know each other. There were folks that were 40 years old and folks that were 18 who are freshmen at Stanford. And we were able to play together the whole weekend, telling stories, making things up, as if we had known each other all our lives and were best friends. And I thought, what is it that allows us to do that? There's something about these principles, the maxims of improv, that allow strangers to have an incredible experience together. And it starts with, you've probably heard that the primary rule of improv is to say yes, yes, and. Now, it sounds kind of, so what's the big deal? I think when you enter a culture of yes, when you become part of that, you're there with the predisposition to be open and agreeable to whatever's going on. And your job, after accepting whatever it is to build on it and make it into something better. If that's the fundamental prototype that you're working with, it's a really powerful way of being, a mindset, if you will, that that can be used everywhere. Improv has become a kind of trendy thing these days in training business leaders, executives, nurses, doctors, people who have to communicate. I think that it's really common to be afraid of having to speak in public or do anything without a plan, without a script. I think most interviews, for example, everyone wants to prepare what they're going to say, figure out what the questions will be, and look clean and smart and intelligent. When one of my former students is now an executive coach, coaching people for interviews, and he says, the thing interviewers most hate is the sound of the prepared response. And I think that, and we know that too. We know when a politician is giving his spiel, it sounds different than normal human conversation. Right now, I don't have any of this planned. I guess I know what I know. My life becomes the script out of which I'm picking things and trying to talk to you, make sense out of these, the time together. Somehow, the study of improv, learning to start with a predisposition to say yes and open to what's going on and to accept it and then appreciate whatever it is and then do something with it. Sounds kind of simple. But most of us, I think, come at life with kind of the amygdala that's looking for, okay, what do I have to protect myself against here? What's wrong with what's going on now? Suppose you entered each day with what's right about today. How can I appreciate whatever is going on? The coffee spilled. Well, aren't I lucky to have coffee? So the study of improvisation can be used across everything. And in fact, you don't even have to take a class. Pick up the book and look at some of the ideas. I'm wondering, what was it, Sam, that attracted you? Can you think of one of these things you've underlined you wanted to parse with me?
Yeah, I think the one I've always valued improv, and I valued the notion that being able to be in a zone where you can say what you want to say in the right moment is very powerful versus having to prepare and feel scripted, like you mentioned. And as I read the book, one of the things I started to keep coming back to is this reality. I was tying it to our workforce today. I mean, the majority of workers who are frontline, who are maybe performing low wage service sector roles without access to education, coaching, training, development, are improv-ing all day long in many ways. Now, and it made me think about how to instill the principles of improv into their leadership in order to cultivate an environment where that's a strength and not something that sometimes improv can be looked at as like a bad word. Like it's bad to just improv. You're supposed to follow the process, right? You know, it's you work, right. Yeah. Work counter, Patricia. This is the steps of the service. You're supposed to go question 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that's what my wheels were spinning around. And I think there was a quote in the book where the quote says something to the effect of the power we have when we just let the balls drop. And that really stuck with me.
Well, there is a relief to discover that it's really okay to be yourself and to respond with your natural sense of what needs to be done. You're right about these, about all the workers that are improvising all the time. One of the ways that leaders can foster this mindset, I think, is by appreciating in great detail what they notice these people doing. They often, these jobs are thankless jobs. I was recently at the airport and we were taking a shuttle from where we dropped the car to the airport where we, and so they're one of these shuttles where every 100 feet or so, the driver stops the vehicle, gets out, runs around, opens the doors, lets people out, takes their luggage, puts it in the back, closes the back, makes sure everybody's safe, gets back in the driver's seat, and then goes 100 feet or 200 feet and does it again. And he's doing that all day. And I was watching him. And when it came our turn to, we got out and we went around the back to pick up the luggage and give him a tip. And I said, "Do you know, you are doing an excellent job. What you are doing is complicated and difficult. And I really appreciate that." And he stopped and looked at me and I thought he might cry. There was some way in which, perhaps no one had ever stopped to say, "You're doing a great job." You know that? And we all need that. That we need more than money or objects or even status. We need to feel that we're valuable. And that's, we want everybody to value us. Now, the thing we can do ourselves as leaders or as waiters is to value others and to make go that extra step, not just say, "Thank you. Thanks for all you do." But what was it that they did? Notice it. "I noticed that you did this. Good work." If I could, you know, leave one thought from improvisation, it's valuing, noticing, appreciating in detail what other people are doing. It's how we take care of each other. Because we're desperate for, it's not just approval, but acknowledgement. And whether it's a big job or a little job, I bet the leaders you want to work for are those who might stop by your desk and say, "Wow, you've been at this all day. Good work." You know, it takes a lot of time to get those reports in. Thanks a lot. Wouldn't you love that?
Yes, I would. It feels more human to operate from a place of improv.
That's exactly my message, that there's a kind of humanity we all have. Maybe we're afraid of using it because we might, we might look silly or we might not be doing the plan. Try it. I say, try C. Improv is something that if you trust yourself, try having that yes mind going, see what happens when you appreciate others. And then enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I mean, that's powerful stuff. The over the years, I'm sure you've had to coach and teach other coaches and teachers and instructors and leaders who have had to turn around and, deliver education, deliver classes, deliver improv. I'm interested, how do you coach the coaches to create the right environment for improv to thrive, recognizing what you said earlier, which is it's a little scary. I mean, I've said it to my team in the past, we're going to do an improv class. And, you know, there's two or three that are very excited. And then there's two or three that are, what date is that? So I can, out of office. And so I'm interested to hear for folks that are listening who may be managers and leaders who are going to pick up the book or think about how to start to instill some practices. What do you say to them as coaches in order to be effective and make this work versus making it something that's scary?
Great. That's a wonderful question, because I think, one, you have to be improvising yourself in the sense that you have to be open to what's going on or not going on. And in fact, often when I approach a group of high level coaches, I say the important thing you need to know is I'm scared to death to do this class with you. And there's, as soon as I say that, and it's true, I was worrying about this interview all last night and all morning. Oh, I've got to talk to Sam on that important podcast. Maybe I'll screw up and they'll just, okay. We all, I think, have a certain amount of fear about anything like that. So I start by lowering my status by telling a truth. And somehow there's a little relaxation around the fact, oh, okay, she's not going to stand up and make a joke that I have to follow or something. All right. And the other maxim that is really important in training trainers is the invitation to them to be average. Really? My Stanford students, spent their whole lives excelling, do the best. One of your podcasts, that wonderful coach who ranks everybody from 1 to 15 every day, I thought, oh my God, that's a strategy and it'll get a certain kind of result. See, in my class, everybody would get a number one, because there are no wrong answers in improv. So that the invitation to be in a room where you can't make a mistake here, or if you make a mistake, we'll all celebrate it. There's a game that if we sort of screw up some rule or something, we say, that I screwed that up. And then you raise your arms in the air and say, ta-da, and look around. And the idea is, like a circus performer who dropped the balls, I'm just human too. We love to be in a room with humans, and trainers who are themselves human that can allow us to see their warts and all, I think are the very best ones, in my opinion. Or there's an effectiveness that comes from that. Maybe it doesn't always work. I think there are probably some very high status groups that that are really not interested in hearing this sort of human talk, human speak. I think trainers, in whatever they're doing, need to walk their own talk. And I think that's a part of it. They're making mistakes. Being average allows you to use your normal humanity. I think when we're trying for our best is when we're more likely to actually screw up. And there's a lot of evidence that that extra effort to really, I'm going to make this the best X, can backfire. And when we're just using our natural ability to think and speak and make sense out of things, we're more powerful and effective.
I'd imagine that you've, over the years, like you just alluded to, had a lot of executives, maybe other professors and faculty and colleagues at Stanford, for example, look for scientific evidence and data and research that supports this improv thing, and what do you say to those? Is there a data study, or is there a better way to respond to that question?
There is. There are quite a number of academic studies that have that have measured effectiveness around certain kinds of measures before and after improv. improv training. And I could point you to some of that. I've never gotten particularly interested in the hard research, but there is hard research because some people just need that. I think a lot of the, if you will, the findings come from qualitative testimonials. I took this improv class and I realized I didn't have to do yada yada. Instead, I could really listen better, because key to saying yes is you have to know what you're saying yes to, which means you have to become a superhero as a listener. And that's the fundamental skill that leads to improvising and kind of letting go of your ideas. This is also counter to a lot of business work where you're trying to come up with the ideas. So in brainstorming, for example, it's almost who can have the best, funniest idea or the most innovative one, and everybody's in competition. And you will certainly get some results that way in that kind of brainstorming. In an improv brainstorming, whatever idea is thrown out, everybody has to make that one work. So it's a different mindset of, let's take what we've got, use what is right in front of us. There's a saying, improv saying, you already have what you need. So it's not more of anything. Take what's right in front of you and use it artfully, use it innovatively, make a story out of whatever shows up in your palm. It's really, all of this is really quite simple. But you're right that there's resistance to the notion, well, because we don't want to look stupid. That's the great fear is, and we have to turn off the button that says, be clever, relax, you're clever, is another useful maxim. So
I like that. I had to ask this one. In a few weeks, I am at my company, we've been lucky enough to be we're being recognized at a big event, you know, for some social impact work we've done. It's a program mm-hmm. called the Covenant House, and they help create, you know, provide shelter and support services and education and training for young men and women that might be homeless. And they're recognizing mm-hmm. our organization for doing a lot of work in the community supporting the program. And they told me the other day, they go, Sam, you're going to have to stand up and we're going to give you 2 minutes on stage. So my question, I want a little free coaching. So do I prepare for the 2 minutes? Because part of me wants to let it fly a little bit in the moment. How would you coach me in this situation leading up to the event?
Right. It's a terrific question because it comes up all the time. And I would say prepare like crazy, you know. And then when you get there, set it aside, be in the venue, look around, notice what's really going on, and then say what seems of the stuff you've prepared or what's in the moment be really there. So I think the preparation, you probably have some ideas of you're going to thank people for sure. And you might want to find an interesting way to do that, some detail or somebody lowly down in the organization or something rather than just the high ups, or tell a story. So I would say, go ahead, prepare like crazy, but don't take your notes on stage. And trust yourself that the wonderful thing that you get to do, which is receive an honor, a real honor because of the important work they're doing, will be almost a no-brainer when you're there really looking at the faces of the people. And something might happen just before you come on stage that you can reference. That's this really being where you are, which is, I said to somebody, I really lied when I say don't prepare, just show up. What I would really want to tell everybody is prepare, 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 prepare a lot. Say it over 1,000 times or say it different ways. And then show up and be yourself. Use your own words. Don't worry about reciting that, any of the prepared speech. Trust that your human presence there, doing what is your purpose, which is to thank them and honor that organization, will be crystal clear if you just show up and have fun.
That's great. Thank you. I'm going to do that. Patricia,
well, great. Let me know how it goes. Please send me an email about how it goes.
I will totally do it. Again, I'll record it. We'll get some extra coaching in. Last question for you, Patricia. A lot of what you're talking about, and kind of saw the connection, to think about the effect that improv has on work, on workers. We're talking a lot about the future of work. What's your hope for the future of work?
My deep hope for the future of work would be that we can all, everybody, learn to relax more, slow down, and not always be striving for more, more, more. I would love the word enough to come into the workplace and to appreciate what we have. There's something about this constant need to make more, do more, be more productive, et cetera. I think if leaders as well as workers had more space to do whatever they're doing and more appreciation, all of the world of work would be better. I would love that.
Patricia, thanks for taking time.
My pleasure. Great.
In Patricia's book, she said this. She goes, by stabilizing things, you defeat the point of the exercise. Stay with the uncertainty. Really, it's all about the struggle. And, you know, there's a bunch of things I liked about what Patricia was saying. You know, she made the comment around like this one, that struggle is, you know, part of the process. She talked about how it's okay to be yourself. She talked about valuing others, which if you're a leader out there who's coaching and developing your people, you're responsible for the development of people around you in your sphere of influence. You know, this was a huge point. Value others. Notice what they did right. Talked about a little framework of valuing, noticing, and appreciating. She quickly mentioned the famous improv exercise for anybody out there that's ever been through an improv program, you know, this concept of yes and. And if you haven't, the whole idea of yes and is, you know, in a specific improv exercise, let's say something happens and you are in a position where you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say. Yes and is a concept where you kind of roll with it. Is that fair to say, Jaime?
I'd say yes and.
Said, you know, you did it. See, it worked. Yes, and. So, yes, and is this idea that, you know, you can kind of roll with it. It's this idea that, like Patricia says in her book, all starting points are equally valid. And at work today, all we have is what's right in front of us. And it's okay to be yourself. Patricia also said in her book, talking about how writers write to discover what they have to say, and they bring to consciousness what they already know. And she goes on to say, it's the same with speech. You speak to discover what you want to say. Then you sculpt, correct, refine, and redirect your thoughts on the fly as you speak. Today, more than ever, we need people to take action, bold action, to speak, and in the process, discover maybe what they want to say. And if you haven't already, head on over to your local bookstore to pick up Patricia Ryan Madsen's book, Improv Wisdom, Don't Prepare, Just Show Up. Thank you, Patricia, for joining us. Now, don't forget to subscribe to Bring It In so you never miss an episode. We've got some awesome guests lined up that you're not going to want to miss. Now, back to work.